Chinese New Year will be just next week, on the 5th of February, Tuesday. And therefore, I take this opportunity to wish you all an advanced blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. It is the year 2019, and it is the year of the pig. Now, some people here, especially young ones, may be wondering why I am speaking on this year of the pig, the Chinese New Year of the pig. What has the Bible got to say about it? Now, actually, I started speaking on the Chinese New Year of the pig in the year 1983. Some of you were not born yet. Some of you had not been invented. Well, that was nearly over 30 years ago, 1983, and this year is 1919. Now, when I started this series, I could not say it's a series. It was just, and that year, Chinese New Year, I was speaking, and I thought it would be sort of fanciful to speak on the pig. So I started searching for the pig in the Bible, and I found it, there are quite a lot of things to study. So that was just a brief study on the pig. Then, 4 years later, 1987, I resumed the study on the rabbit. And it went on to 1990, the horse. In between, I was not put down to speak at Balmoral Gospel Hall, so I could not continue with the series. 1990, I was fortunate, I had a series of 3 meetings in a row. And when I searched the scriptures for the horse, the year of the horse then, to my surprise, I found there was so much material that I could do it in 3 series. And I thought, the other animals in the zodiac perhaps could give me a lot of material also. And that started my whole series on the year of the animals in the Chinese New Year. 1991, the wren, 1992, we went on to the monkey, 1993, we went on to the cock, 1994, we went on to the dog, and 1995, the pig again. And of course, by this time, I was more experienced, and I had a bigger and, well, in a way, more meaty material to study on the pig. So that was 1995. And it went on to 2007, will be one cycle. So I should have finished that one cycle, the first cycle. But there was a demand for this study to continue, so I carried on. So that later on, after 2008, 2010, 2009, and 2010, when it came to the Chinese New Year of the Tiger, I realized that I could illustrate my studies with PowerPoint slides, and that would be much better. So 2010, I started with PowerPoint slides on the Tiger. So if you carry on from 1995, 1983, to 2019 now, it will be 36 years already, 3 cycles. And I would begin this year with my 4th cycle. But I'm not going to continue, definitely. I will not, not only do not want to continue, I think I shall not be able to continue to finish the cycle. So we'll stop there. But I would like to finish my studies on with PowerPoint slides. So 2010, so then I would have to go on to 2012. Right, now let's come to the year of the pig. What is this year of the pig about? Now it is based on the animals in the zodiac, the star constellations that are associated with the months of the year in the Chinese calendar. It would begin with the mouse or the rat, and it would end with the pig, 12 animals named. The English calendar also has its zodiac. And you have Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpion, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And so the English calendar also has its zodiac. But we are not going to consider the symbols of the English zodiac. We shall consider only the Chinese one. Now, the Chinese has got 12 animals in the zodiac, beginning with the first one, the rat, and then ending with the pig. Now, I started, as I pointed out, in 1983, and I have gone on to 2019 now, and as I pointed out, it will be already 36 years I have been speaking on this. When I first started, many of you were not born. And today I continue, a small baby is there already. I'm not sure whether she will be able to complete the 36 after 12 years for me to hear the cycle, for me to complete the cycle. But still, it is interesting to note. Now, first and foremost, I told you just now that the first animal would be the rat, the last animal, the pig. How did this order come about, the rat and the pig? Now, let me just tell you a very brief story, the Chinese legend. Now, apparently, these 12 animals went to see the gods at that time, asking them to name them after the various constellations in the universe and to put them first. Now, of course, the gods could not agree upon this. I'm not sure what's happening now. All right. So the animals asked the gods, put us first. But the gods could not decide. So the gods suggested that here is a river. The first one to swim across the bank to the other bank will be first. And second one, second, third, and so on. So they all agree. So they all swam across the bank. Now, the ox, being the strongest one among them, he was able to swim first. So as he was about to reach the bank, he did not know that there was this cunning rat who jumped upon his back. And then all the time, while he was struggling to swim across to the other bank, he was enjoying his ride. And when he was about to jump across the bank to be the first, the rat jumped first. And that's how the rat became first. And the ox became second. And of course, the lazy pig last. Now, I want to clarify certain things first. Before I carry on with this, I'd like you to note that I am not referring in this study to feng shui or to horoscopes. Horoscopes refer to the article that will come up nearly every day in the star paper and in other magazines, what the stars foretell. And many people would read what the stars foretell instead of reading the Bible for their daily devotion. Now, this is not right. The Bible condemns it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 18:10-12, no one among you is to make his son or daughters pass through the fire, practice divination, tell fortunes, interpret omens, practice sorcery, cast spells, consult a medium or familiar spirit, or inquire of the dead. Everyone who does these things is indesirable, it is detestable to the Lord, and the Lord your God is driving out of the nations before you because of these detestable things. Please do not consult horoscopes. Please have nothing to do with feng shui and all these other things. These are things condemned by the Lord in His word. This is for your information. And our study with the Chinese New Year animals has nothing to do with them. So there's a first clarification. Second clarification is this. This is a study of the Everest animals as they appear in the Bible. What I do is I just take up my concordance, look up that word and see where it occurs and see what lessons I can gather from its occurrences. So the word pig or swine is found in the NIV or AV. Today this word is obsolete and other words are being used. We will discuss that later on. Thirdly, I want to make clear from the very beginning that when I say you were born in the year of the pig, therefore you are a pig, I'm not saying that you are a pig. You understand what I mean? You were born in the pig, in the year of the pig. Therefore, in a way, you are a pig. But I'm not saying that you are the animal pig. Please don't misunderstand me. Because 1 year, while talking about these animals, I was quoted, Mr. Ang, you always speak bad about all these animals. I am a so-and-so. You speak bad about me. I said, I didn't speak bad about you. No, I speak. What happens that all the animals that we are going to study in connection with Chinese New Year are all have bad attributes as in the Bible. So what can I do? I just bring out the attributes that the Bible says about each animal, and it happens to be bad. So that animal is bad, not you are bad. So I want to clarify this. When I say, that's why I'm afraid this morning to ask you, those who are born in the year of the pig, please put up your hands. I dare not. In case you accuse me of saying you are a pig, I'm not saying that. I don't know why they call men pigs. You can train a pig faster and pigs are more loyal than a man who chooses not to be. The only thing about a man that is a man is his mind. Everything else you can find in a pig or a horse. I hope you get what it means. Because if you do not, then I don't know. You are a pig or you are not a pig. Next one. For our purpose, because this word pig is so sensitive, I may not use the word pig unless I refer it to the text. But normally I would use, I prefer a word, the word boar, which also means a pig. Sometimes you get into trouble for using pigs. Especially this year, you go to all the supermarkets, all the malls, you hardly find a picture of a pig because it's offensive. Alright, now very quickly, this is what I do. Take out my concordance, look out for the word swine or pig or boar, and I find these occurrences. The origin or definition of the word swine as found in the Bible. Swine now is obsolete. It's only found in King James because it's an old 1600 translation of the Bible. Alright, but the word is still used technically for reference to diseases and so on, swine fever, swine herd, swine pox and so on. Normally, it will be replaced by an equally old English word, pig. The male pig is a boar, female is a sow, and the litter or a herd or piglet is called a farrow. Wild boar is referring to the domestic pig that you see in the house, while the pigs that you often refer to as wild boars, as wild, are actually hogs. So this is from the Webster Universal Dictionary for your information in the correct use of the word pig, boar, hog, sow and so on, swine. Now, if you look at the dictionary again, you find that when the word swine is used in a singular form, which is already archaic, it literally refers to a hoofed animal. Omnivorous means it eats anything and everything. You throw to it anything, it will eat. That's why it's a pig. Figuratively, and this is where I can get into trouble, a pig can refer to some other animal or human being with its characteristics. For example, we read that a pig normally eats filth, rubbish, vermin, rodents, and so on. So when a person is like that, we call him, you dirty, rotten, filthy pigs. And you also have heard of people calling lazy pig, greedy as a pig, fat as a pig, and so on. So a pig seems to have a very bad connotation, association. Well, that is figuratively. In its plural sense, pigs collectively are called a herd. Piglets, a pharaoh. That is for your English knowledge. Now, the pig as occurs in the Bible itself, its occurrences. The Hebrew word hazer occurs only 6 times. In other words, swine occurs only 6 times in the Old Testament. First, as a proverb in Proverbs 11, verse 6, where we read, like a gold ring in a pig's mouth is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Or in a modern translation, it reads, a beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's mouth. You would not, of course, put a ring on a pig's mouth, but this would refer to a woman, the Bible says, not me, please, beautiful woman who does not use her discretion well, who would gossip perhaps, say a lot of things behind people's back. She is a beautiful woman with a big snout, with a ring at the snout. So that's what the Bible says. More about that when I do a study of it afterwards. So, well, the beautiful woman is no more beautiful when she is involved in this kind of activity. It is also use of a polluted animal. The pig is regarded as an unclean animal in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7. I'll talk about that in detail later on. In the New Testament, it is koiros, and it is only used in its plural form, and 3 references refer to that word. Do not cast pearls before swine. I'll talk about that later on also. Demons who were driven out of 2 possessed men were driven into a herd of swine that would run over a cliff and would be drowned. Thirdly, of course, you remember the prodigal son who was so hungry that he ate among the pigs. So these are the 3 cases where the word swine is found in the New Testament. Then you have the word in plural, in feminine form, sow, or in Greek, hous, and it's found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, where it says, do not give a dog will return to its vomit, a sow after its wash will return to its mire. We'll talk about all this later. So these are all the references about the swine in singular form or in plural form in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For your study, if you want, you can do on your own as well. But we are going to take one by one and study them now. Comparisons with the ball. First, my exhortation to all of us here is, be a cow, but not a ball. Why be a cow and not a ball? Leviticus 11, 2-4 lists out animals that can be eaten and that cannot be eaten by an Israelite. Those that cannot be eaten are known as unclean, and those which can be eaten are known as clean. How can you tell which is unclean and which is unclean? Well, let's look at Leviticus 11, 3-4. You may eat animal with divided hooves and that chews the cud. We'll stop here first. These are the conditions. Clean animals are animals which have cloven hooves and which chew the cud. What is meant by chewing the cud? You often see a cow chewing the cud. After it has grazed upon the meadow, it will then go to a shady place, it will lie down, and you find that although it's not eating anything, but its mouth will be moving all the time. That is called chewing the cud. What is it doing? It is taking out the food from its stomach, up again, and then start really digesting it until it is fully digestible, then only it swallows into its stomach. That is called chewing the cud, which is very good. More about it as we go on. So, for an animal to be clean, it must have cloven hooves. The picture on your left, a picture on your left, does not have cloven hooves. The picture on the right has. Alright? So, that's the pig trotters. My wife just cooked some for me, some vinegar pig trotters to enjoy the last few days. And I've been taking that all the time. Now, trotters are the hooves of the pig. And then the cow, the animal, must also chew the cud. Two conditions, not one or the other. It must be both for the animal to be clean. And that's why it says there, but among the ones that, verse 4, among the ones that chew the cud or have divided hooves, you are not to eat. For example, the camel, though it chews the cud, does not have divided hooves. It is unclean for you. The camel does not chew the cud and has cloven hooves at the same time. The camel chews the cud, but it has not cloven hooves. It has got wet hooves. Between the two toes is wet. Why? Because to make sure that the camel does not sink into the sand. That's why it's wet. It cannot be cloven. So, it's true that the camel chews the cud, it does not have cloven hooves. It is unclean. But a pig, it has cloven hooves, but it does not chew the cud. So it is unclean. A cow is clean because it has cloven hooves and it chews the cud. You see the difference. That's why be a cow, but not a pig. The similarities between the cow and the pig. Both of them have cloven hooves. They are divided hooves. Cloven, now this is a lesson that we can learn. Why the cloven feet? Cloven, divided, means separation. Separation. Both have the attribute of living a separate life, but with a difference. The ball separation is a separation of the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 20, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the Pharisees, they are very hypocritical. They are very separated as to the things that go into their mouths. They are very, very careful about the things that they handle, cup food properly clean and so on. But they are dirty in that they do not care about what comes out of the heart through the mouth. From the mouth comes out lies, hypocrisies, defilement, fornication, and so on. So, this kind of separation is not good. It is the separation of the ball. Outside, you seem to be separated, but inside, you are not. Then you have the cow separation. What is the cow separation? The cow separation is like the separation of the Nazarene. A Nazarene separated from the world unto the Lord. Both inside and outside, you are used of the Lord, separated unto the Lord. And there's a difference between a cow Christian and a bull Christian. The dissimilarities. The cow chews the cud and is clean. The ball does not chew the cud and is unclean. The cow Christian is the one who, like the cow, chews the cud, or rather first grazes upon the meadow, eats the cud, swallows it, but it doesn't digest it, and then later on it goes to a meadow, shady place, and it takes up the food that he has swallowed, and it starts chewing again, and digests the food, and then send it back to the stomach. That's chewing the cud. Now, this is what I call, what the word used is, to ruminate. When the cow takes the food that it has swallowed into the stomach, up again, continue to chew and chew and chew and chew the food until it is properly brought to be digestible, then only is swallowed in right to the stomach. That's called rumination. And that's why my devotions every week that I send to two or three of you here and to others who request for it, I call it a weekly rumination. This weekly rumination is a devotion on the meditation of the Bible text to prepare a Christian especially for the Lord's Supper. Now, those of you, especially the brothers, who find difficulty in taking part in the Lord's Supper, I suggest you subscribe to this rumination. Because every week, this is a devotion preparing you for the Lord's Supper. This week, for example, is 30 pieces of silver. It's a meditation on 30 pieces of silver and meditation on the betrayal of Judas, of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas. So it helps you to meditate on certain parts of Scripture and to participate actively in the Lord's Supper for the brothers who find difficult to participate, as well as for the sisters as well. So you can find it in Facebook, as two or three sisters do so, and a brother also, as well as in my website. Right. The ball Christian, on the other hand, lives on a polluted life. You remember the ball, it eats rubbish, it eats all the defilement and so on. So it is a polluted Christian, without the cleansing effect of God's word from the inside, while he separates himself like a Pharisee from any uncleanness from the outside. He remains defiled and polluted inside. So do not be a ball Christian, but be a cow Christian. Second lesson to learn. Be neither a dog nor a sow. Now that's taken from 2 Peter 2:22, where we read, it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mud, or in the mire. Now, this is taken from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. But only one part is quoted. The other part is not found in Proverbs. It is not a quotation from the Old Testament. But what it says is just plain this. There is this dog, after vomiting it out, the food that has been inside goes away and seems to be normal. Then it comes back and it licks up that vomit again. Or it's like a sow who has been completely washed and clean, sent out, goes out and sees a pool of mud. It goes back and enjoys that pool of mud. So, in other words, to go back to your old ways. This is definitely true of a person who is a false believer. The implication is this. Both were once cleaned, so-called, from the outside and looked clean. And the illustration is this. Both illustrate a nature that was never reborn, so reformed. Reformed on the outside, but never reborn from the inside. never born again. A person who professes to be a Christian but never is a Christian in the first place. It's like a story told by Robertson, a Bible commentator, of a pig that enjoys the society of rich people, high class people, and is properly washed. But the moment he goes out into the open, he sees a muddy pool there, he will go and enjoy the muddy pool. Because his nature is like that. His nature is like that. What the pig has been reformed is on the external side, but on the inside is the same. There's no change. And so it refers to somebody who has been reformed but not reborn. And in the context of 2 Peter, it refers to false teachers. False teachers who have come into our churches, who come to our midst and teaching people to be reformed and so on, but never renew in the spirit. Be careful of them. Those excluded from an internal regeneration by not being born again. And there are many of these false teachers today. So, in the end, we also hear of some people who profess to be Christians before, and then they will return back to their own religion. But in the first place, they had never been reborn. They claim and they profess to be Christians, but they were never reborn. So, they are a sow going back to his own vomit. Then look at the decorations of a ball. Just now we refer to a ring in the ball's snout, referring to a very beautiful woman who does not have any discretion, but who pokes her nose into everybody's business. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 3 and 4 tells us how a woman should behave and conduct herself. She should be quiet and not be poking her nose into everybody else's business, gossiping and spreading bad news about other people and so on. This is like a pig with a snout and a golden ring on its snout. We are told that a beautiful woman wanting to be beautiful is better that she submits to God's word. And in this context, 1 Peter 3, 5 and 1 Timothy 2, 9, to submit to her husband as the head of the house and not to wear the pants. By her modesty and sobriety and not her jewelry. A beautiful woman is beautiful not by the outward jewelry that she adorns herself with, but by the morality that she displays, by her life, and by what she actually is internally and spiritually. So it's better to have that beauty than to have a beautiful girl with by poking her nose into everybody else's affairs. So that was just now a ring in the bell, in the ball's snout. Now pearls under the ball's hoof. Say, don't cast pearls to swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. You give them valuable jewels like pearls. And what do the pigs do? They do not know the value. They just trample them under the feet. And as one commentator says, it's just like what we understand as being intended by this emulation is that we are forbidden to attempt to Christianize unregenerated men by teaching them the letter of the word, as though we could so improve their carnal minds as to make them acceptable to God without being born of the Spirit. Now what is happening is many of us are keen to see that these people know perhaps their Bible, know their religious book, know their holy book, as we know even in our country there are schools teaching young children the holy book, memorize the Holy Book. And yet these very children, as they grow up into teenagers and to adults, they cheat, they are corrupt, they murder even, they are very, very, very immoral. And yet they know their Holy Book inside out and outside in, and they can quote. So these are the things we must not be involved in. Do not cast pearls before swine. Do not give holy things to the dogs. Both animals cannot appreciate intrinsic value gifts. They cannot appreciate what is the spiritual beauty of the gifts that are given to them. Both can even turn on the giver. And as we know, if we talk bad about those things that I mentioned just now, I would get into trouble. So we have to be careful when we use these sensitive words. Right, the degeneration associated with the ball. This has to do with the story of the prodigal son that you know so well. You remember he went away from his home, and he was so desperate, he had to eat swine food. And as he was eating swine food, he was thinking, in my father's house there are servants, lowly servants, who eat bread, and who have more bread to spare. And yet, look at me, I'm worse than they. I am eating swine food. Now, to the Jewish minds, for this prodigal son to eat swine food would be for him to have sunk to the very lowest of society, because swine is unclean to the Jews and he is eating swine food. So he is worse than the so-called low-class servants in his father's house. And he therefore realized it, he repented, and he was restored. And it's a lesson to us too, that we should not go to the world's attractions. We should come back, and as we come back, we repent, we go to the Lord will forgive. Right, then that is the incident of the demon's destruction. Remember in Matthew 8, 28-32 again, there were two men who were possessed with demons. And the Lord drove the demons out so that the man could be sane again. Alright. You see what happened when the Lord drove the swine out, drove the demons out of the demon-possessed people? The owners of the pigs went to the city and told the people in the city what had happened. And the people of the city, we read in Matthew 8:34, came back and told the Lord, please go away, please go away. We do not want you in this community. Said, they valued the swine more than the teacher. The swine were the proof of the people's pollution. These people who fed swine likely to be Jews, and the Jews had turned away from the Lord's law of unclean animals. Isaiah 66 verses 3 and 65, 2-4 remind us of the worshippers' delusion. The Lord God complained to the people, you are a rebellious people. You proclaim, you confess that you do all the things that I ask you to do. You bring your sacrifices, you bring your offerings and so on. But what are they? They are all delusions. You think you are doing a sacrifice to the Lord, but you are not. Because it was marked by adherence to external regulations without internal reflection. Malachi 1:7, there were these Jews who complained that the Lord's table is contemptible, it is corrupted. And the Lord said, why corrupted? You bring corrupted offering to here. You have a male offering, but you won't bring it. You bring a offering that's blind, that is lame, and put it upon the altar for me. You are contemptible without spiritual reverence and without actual respect. Take all these animals that you profess to offer to me. Give it to the governor. See whether he will accept it or not. The governor won't even look at it. And yet you take these same animals, blind, lame, polluted, and you give to me. Is that the way you treat me? No respect at all. So, finally, we come into the last one. Historically, we find that the swine will play an important part. In the future. Now, Isaiah 6:17, we read of some of these Jews hiding in the pagans' gardens, using pigs as offerings unto the deities. Can you imagine that? The test of loyalty in the intertestament times. Now, between the Old Testament and New Testament, there was a period of 400 years. And during these intertestament times, we find the Jews were challenged. There was one, I mentioned it in the study of Jerusalem, Antiochus Epiphanes, who came and brought a pig, sacrificed it upon the altar in the temple, and asked the Jews to worship. What happened was, the Jews rebelled. Because Antiochus' emphasis was to test the loyalty of the Jews, whether they would be loyal to the Romans or to the Lord. Because the Lord had condemned the unclean animal, the pig. And so we find that that was a test of loyalty. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a pointer to these Jews who were keeping pigs. We saw in the case of the prodigal son, we saw in the case of the demons being cast out to the pigs. They were keeping pigs. So you find that in the society, the Jewish society at that time, it was very bad. Today, you find it so. The token of orthodoxy, no mention to be made of the pig, because the pig is unclean, and certain religions won't allow us to even mention it at all. And for you to put a picture, an image of a pig in public is to, well, offend their sensitivity. So it's sad when it's like that. But whatever it is, let us remember, it is not on the outward sense that is important, it's on the inward uncleanness that we must keep ourselves from. So, eschatology in the time to come, we will find that a temple will be built during the Great Tribulation. The man of sin, Antichrist, will set up his temple and will bring in a sacrifice. And that is referred to in Daniel as the abomination of desolation. And the would it be that the Antichrist will bring in a swine to the altar, as Antiochus Epiphanes did? He was an antitype of Antichrist. So today we know, as I pointed out in the study of Jerusalem, the temple is already being built. So can we expect the time to be very near when Christ will come? And he will come as a messenger to cleanse the temple and set up his kingdom on earth. So, conclusion. In this year of the ball, do not be a ball Christian, but be a cow Christian. Read God's word, lead a clean life. Examine yourself to ensure that you are neither a sow nor a dog, presuming to be saved when you are not. Sisters need to have golden hearts rather than golden rings on swine snouts. Continue to maintain your beauty. Do not cast pearls before swine, but learn to treasure things which are holy and of value. Do not be tempted to eat swine food, keep swine or offer swine's blood. Return to the Lord and enjoy His best. Do not eat swine. Be faithful and loyal to the Lord unto death, if it needs be, until He comes into His temple. So, I take this opportunity again. Thank you very much. Wish you an advanced blessed Chinese New Year to all. May you be ever blessed and prosperous and fruitful in this coming new year. The Lord bless all of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for these instructions that Thou hast laid concerning clean and unclean animals in Thy word. And we do realize, Lord, in this year of the pig, we are challenged to be clean and not to be involved with the unclean. Help us, Lord, in word, thought, deed, and walk to be clean. Sanctify us always, O Lord, that this year may be a year where we are clean offerings on the altar, offered unto Thee for Thy service and worship of Thee for who Thou art. We thank You, Lord, for Thy word. Bless us, Lord, we do pray. Pray for those in the family who will be returning this week or next week for a family reunion. Find them safe journey right through, we do pray. We ask all these things as we commit ourselves to Thee. Thank You, Lord, for Thy goodness to us in Christ's precious name. Amen.